On a Sabbath, he passed through the grain fields. His disciples were picking heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands, and eating them. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Haven't you read what David and those who were with him did when he was hungry? How he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but a priest to eat? He even gave some to those who were with him. Then he told them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. A man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The scribes and Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they could find a charge against him. But he knew their thoughts and told the man with the shriveled hand, 'Get up and stand here.' So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to him, 'I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it?' After looking around at them all, he called him, 'Stretch out your hand.' He did, and his hand was restored. They, however, were filled with rage and started discussing with one another what they might do to Jesus." Sunday, we were looking at earlier verses in chapter 5, and we looked at Jesus calling Levi, also known as Matthew. And if you remember from our study in the Gospel of Matthew knew the Old Testament backwards and forwards, and he quoted all kinds of scripture, including those in his gospel. His main gospel was the most popular comment was, "This was to fulfill." And he wrote the gospel to the Jewish people. He was a scholar, if you will, in Old Testament and its prophecy about Messiah. But he happened to be a tax collector. A tax collector is someone that was viewed by many in Israel as being someone that had abandoned their patriotism to Israel and chose instead to be a friend of Rome because they collected tax for Rome. Nobody in the U.S. that I know of speaks very well about the IRS. IRS is always looked down upon. But imagine if we had an IRS and they sent the taxes they collect to China. Now, that would make it even worse. I'm not putting into whether some of the money goes to China anyway. But we just look at the tax collectors that Levi, Matthew, position was to collect taxes from Rome. And he was despised. And Jesus said to Levi, "Come follow me." And Levi left everything. And then he threw a banquet for Jesus. And the religious leaders were upset. They were upset because Jesus was associating with sinners and tax collectors. Not my kind of people, the Pharisees might say. They're not good enough. Well, Jesus responds in verse 31. "It is not those who are healthy who need a doctor, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The Pharisees and scribes did not think that they needed healing. They did not think they were sinners. It's always the other people who did. They were righteous in their own eyes. Jesus, however, came and acknowledged that all are sinners. And in the letter of Romans, Paul tells us that the wages of sin is death, and the gift of knowledge is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And Romans 3:23, for all that sin fall short of the glory of God. That includes the scribes and Pharisees. There is no one without sin. Well, then the Pharisees, they're not liking that Jesus is associating with sinners and tax collectors. And they're not liking that Jesus' disciples don't follow their example of fasting. Because fasting was done by John the Baptist's disciples and the Pharisees' disciples. And Jesus gave them three parables, three illustrations. He said, no one tears a patch from the new garment and puts it on an old garment. Otherwise, not only will he tear the new, but also the piece from the new garment will not match the old. Now think about this. Jesus is coming, bringing a new understanding of God's love, God's justice, God's forgiveness. He said, you don't rip out part of the gospel and stick it onto the Pharisee rule keeping and make it better. You put a new patch on new clothes. And new clothes don't even need to be better. No. Unless it comes out the fashion of jeans. You go to the store and buy jeans that have holes in them. Where that's, when I was growing up, that's what you put patches on. Now, people pay more money to have jeans with holes in them than they do solid jeans. Which is fine in times. Things. I don't know how to use it. But Jesus also gives another example. He says, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine, all the wineskins burst and you lose the new wine. Wine and the old wineskins. Wine ferments, and when you put it into a new wineskin, that new wineskin will expand as the new wine ferments. But an old wineskin is hardened, and the pressure will break it. And then Jesus goes and talks about the Pharisees' attitude, verse 39. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants new, because he said the old was better. The Pharisees were saying, my way is better. Keeping my rules is better than following what Messiah said. Now, they couldn't argue the miracles Jesus was doing. They complained about it, but they couldn't argue that God's hand was there, even though they tried to say, it's by the power of the devil that I'm doing this. Well, Jesus goes on contrasting the attitude of the Pharisees with the truth. Sunday was Super Bowl, and there was a commercial in it from a group called He Gets Us. And it had a commercial where people are helping other people. It starts out with a scene of a photograph of people pushing a car out of the snow. And then someone looks like giving a homeless man a shave. And then someone with a John 3:16 hat on backwards is hugging a guy in a gay parade. And while this is going on, there's a song playing in the background. And the words of the song are, your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who's there, feeling unknown. You're all alone, unless you know. By the telephone, lift up the receiver. I'll make you a believer. Reach out and touch me. Reach out and touch me. They put Jesus in a little package. Just order now, and you can have your own personal Jesus who will be there in the midst of whatever situation you're going through. No confrontation. No telling you you're wrong about what you're doing. No talking about you're a sinner. No talking about the horrible sin. It's just share love. And part of the words of the screen is, what is greatness? And when you go to their website, it says greatness is serving others, lifting up the broken, and living with purpose. It does get some of the stuff right. Jesus was humble. Jesus told us to serve others, but he didn't tell us to embrace sin and be more bad. He didn't tell us that he will come to us on our terms. He will hold us to him. I stand in the door of God. He told those in sin that he had forgiven to go and sin no more. A lot of times people get part of the message right. The Pharisees, in fact, got part of the message right. God is the one in charge. And there's rules. But the rules are there to show us we're incapable of keeping the rules. Showing us what God's standards are. Showing us we need help. That we have an incurable disease called sin. And only God can cure it. And Jesus, after explaining about the Pharisees and their self-righteousness, then Luke gives us two examples. On a Sabbath day. Now the Sabbath is a holy day. Scripture says, don't really work on the Sabbath. And so Jesus and his disciples are walking through a grain field. And they start pulling off grain, rubbing it in their hands and eating. Now, they weren't stealing the grain. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 25 tells, when you go through your neighbor's field, you grab and kind of grain, all you can eat. But don't carry a bucket with you to get more. When you go through his vineyard, eat all the grapes you want, but don't carry others out. It also tells us in other places that whoever harvests their field, don't harvest the edge of your field. Leave that for the poor so they can have food. So Jesus is going through his disciples, grabbing some grain. But the Pharisee said, rubbing it together is work. And you're not allowed to work on the Sabbath day. Jesus said, haven't you read? Now, these are the experts in said, have you read your Bible? Don't you remember the part where David was hungry? And he ate the bread that he wasn't supposed to eat. It was only for the priest. But it was okay. And the priest said it was okay. Now the situation there is in 1 Samuel 21. Verses 1 through 9. What happened, King Saul, the king that God had rejected, was chasing David. David had already been selected to be the new king of Israel. But the old that had been rejected was chasing the new children of God. The Pharisees and their method was rejected. Jesus said in Matthew 23:4, talking about the Pharisees, they make heavy loads and put them on people's backs, and they're not even willing to lift a finger to help. The Sabbath day was the most difficult day of the week in Israel, if you try to follow all the Pharisees' rules. You couldn't do anything. Probably if you roll over and stay in bed and rolled over, they'd find a way to say that was work. Because you're rearranging the sheets, so that's work. Well, Jesus comes and shows him that there are times where there are needs. And what the law says is not allowed. God allows certain situation. And Jesus told the Lord, the Son of Man is Lord of Sabbath. And then Luke goes to the next passage and says, on a different Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and was teaching. And there was a man whose right hand was shriveled. Now, why did they mention right hand? Would it be the same as left hand? You've got to understand many different cultures still applicable today. The left hand is considered the unclean hand. In the Middle East, in a place that doesn't have toilet paper, you use your left hand. Then you wash your hand. But it's considered your unclean hand. If you want to insult somebody, reach out your left hand. It's the equivalent to reversing. Sort of like giving someone the bird. Well, when the right hand is scribbled, the only thing that you can use is the left hand, and that's called the unclean hand. So you couldn't go touch food. You couldn't touch somebody else with that hand. Your good hand, your clean hand, was shriveled. And it could have been the Pharisees who brought the man there and make sure he was there. But they were not looking to see if Jesus would help this man. They were looking to see if Jesus would heal on the Sabbath so that they could have something to complain about. So Jesus, just like at the time before in the synagogue, Jesus knew what they were thinking. Remember, Jesus healed the man who was paralyzed after he had said, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees were thinking, who can forgive sin but God alone? Jesus said, to show the Son of Man has power to forgive sin, get up and walk. The power to forgive sin. Well, Jesus was there. He called the man of the scrolled man, get up, come here. The guy came up. And then he looked at the Pharisees and scribes and said, which is lawful to do on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? To heal or to save life or to destroy it? Say, if this man, if I don't heal him, that's doing evil. If I do heal him, that's doing good. If I heal him, that's saving his life. If I don't heal him, that's destroying him. He looks around at all the people trying to find something to accuse him of. See if he's going to work on the Sabbath. He tells the man to swoop in, stretch out your hand. The man does and is healed. Wait a minute. Jesus didn't do anything. He didn't work. But the man got healed. All he did was say, stretch out your hand. Stretching out your hand is not unlawful, but he healed. So it says the Pharisees healed filled with rage. Jesus had won the situation. They couldn't find an accusation against him because he hadn't reached down and rubbed his hand to heal him. The hand was healed. Jesus called him and stretched out your hand. Think back to the first chapter of the first book of the Bible, Genesis. And God said that it happened. God didn't have to touch something. Make it big. He made the earth and all of his name just by saying. Well, the Pharisees were not satisfied. They started plotting how to find a way to do something for Jesus. They weren't going to acknowledge that they were sinners. They were following Messiah. They saw a hand that was unusable suddenly healed right before their eyes. And their whole thoughts were based on how can we get Jesus to come to us? They loved the order that they were responding and didn't want to accept the new. Little does he know that there was a new understanding of God's plan for healing. When we look back in Genesis chapter 3, when man sinned, God brought a sacrifice. He clothed Adam and Eve, and it had to be an animal to get the skin. Then he talked about sin will strike and crush the enemies. The serpent will strike and heal the sin of the world. Sin, punishment, judgment, forgiveness, sacrifice for all of us. Throughout the Old Testament. And Jesus trying to explain that to all, including the Pharisees, who are like those don't bother me with the facts of our day of life. Doesn't matter what the truth is, I'm going to go to my point. But Jesus showed me there are people today just like the Pharisees. They want to have a Jesus, their own little personal Jesus, that does things the way they want him to do it. And as long as Jesus doesn't block their way, they'll follow him. But as soon as he starts doing things that confront their self-righteousness, they don't want anything to do. There are some who were following Jesus, who wanted everything to do with Jesus. Lord, thank you for your example, your teaching, your showing power.